I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And, well, it is the Monday after, and the smoke is kind of cleared and settled here from the 2023 NFL Draft, Matt. And the Steelers Draft, the farther we get away from it, the better it looks. And it looked pretty good on Saturday. Looked good Friday. It looked good Thursday. I mean, it just looked good.
100%. And I base that off of all the conversations you and I have had in the drive leading up to it. I mean, are we true experts? Do we know these young men? Can we predict the future? Do we have a crystal ball? Of course not. But these were... If you told us 2 weeks ago, these are the players the Steelers would end up with in this draft class, and they didn't trade any future capital or anything.
Actually, Matt, we kind of did tell you these were the guys.
Yeah.
Because we talked about, other than the seventh rounder, this the last pick, Spencer Anderson.
Right.
We talked about Broderick Jones, the first round draft pick. We talked about Joey Porter and Keanu Benton, the second round draft picks. We talked about Darnell Washington. We talked about Nick Herbig. We talked about Corey Trice, the seventh round pick, the first seventh round pick. These guys were all players that we had not just talked a little about. For the most part, we had talked a lot about these guys.
And they often ended up on our team when we mocked them, not just here and there. And we did plenty of mocks, so there's plenty of chances for players to land on our team. But they were targets of ours. Makes me feel kind of smart. And where I was going with it was, I can't believe they landed as many targets as they did. You know, I mean, maybe there's an injury at play with Trice and Washington that helps things. And certainly there's always a little bit of luck or bad luck involved too, that the board fell well for them. But boy, they took great advantage of it. And it's not like these were gifts. I mean, they had to figure out their strategy and work accordingly. And they set themselves up really well going into next year with this rookie class.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, you know, you mentioned we did a lot of different mock drafts. But the problem with, you know, oftentimes, you know, we're having the discussion, well, do we take Keanu Benton here in the second round or we take Darnell Washington?
Yeah.
Or do we take Joey Porter Jr. in the first round or do we take Broderick Jones if he's available? They end up getting all these guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
there was no discussion. They just got them.
They just got them. And it worked out really well that they traded up a little in the first round. And then they were able to trade back and recoup that pick more or less. You know, it's not like they super shorted themselves anywhere. I keep bringing up Trice. I mean, he's a 241st pick overall. So, I mean, do I expect him to be the next Rod Woodson or Mel Blount? No, but I can't believe they got him. I mean, they got two king size press man corners that I believe just watching tape could be their starters. They might be the start. They might have a starting pair of corners here.
Yeah. You know, probably not this year, but maybe down the road.
Right.
You know, and if that turns out to be the case, my God,
People will say, well, you know, the Steelers can't develop cornerbacks. Well, everybody who says that was complaining when they lost Cam Sutton.
Right. Good point.
You know, well, like a guy that they developed. Oh, my God. What are they going to do without Cam Sutton? They developed him. They haven't used a ton of premium draft picks on cornerbacks. They just haven't. I mean,
no,
you know, if Cortez Allen in a fourth round doesn't work out, that's not a failure by the Steelers. That's a fourth round draft pick.
Right. I mean, that's a low hit rate for any team without question. I think a theme that I keep coming back to, which extends to even more than just this draft class, but is extenuated by it, is there's a lot of physical, powerful, beat your face type of players, big. I mean, all these guys are, no one's undersized or a finesse player. And I'm talking about free agency. I'm talking about trades. I'm talking about really this draft class. And there's some outliers here. I mean, kind of touched on Porter and Trice's size for the corner position, let alone Washington's. I mean, Washington's is rare for the position. So in a draft that was loaded with physical outliers the wrong way, you know, Bryce Young's tiny, Skoronski doesn't have the arm length. Well, the Steelers got the physical outliers in the good way.
Yeah, and got value from them. If you look at it, of course, to recap, they trade up in the first round to go get Broderick Jones, moving from 17 up to 14 to do that, making the trade with the Patriots. There was talk. They had a lot of offers on the table to trade out of that 32nd pick, the first pick of round two. And they decided in the end that, well, we're just going to stay here and take the guy we wanted, the guy we would have taken at 17.
Right.
If things had fallen a certain way. And so they took Joey Porter Jr. I think the next eight picks after Porter, Matt, were offensive players.
Were they really? I didn't even put
in the draft itself. So maybe they could have moved back. Maybe not. But Porter was the best defensive player, apparently, on teams' boards at that point.
It sure, like you said, I'm sure they, of course, they fielded calls. They had almost 24 hours to do so. But it sure got the feeling being down there that, sure, we'll listen, but you're going to have to overpay.
Somebody would have had to have overwhelmed them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're going to have to really blow our doors off because we love the player sitting there.
And that was the kind of the theme of this draft as a whole, is that the cost of moving around wasn't necessarily all that expensive this year. I know everybody looks at and I had people tweet at me, well, you know, the trade chart, teams don't pay attention to the trade chart anymore.
No.
If they ever did, because they just, what's the value to it for them?
Right.
And
in a
draft like this, that's so deep, the currency this year was more or less a fourth round draft pick.
Like, I'll gladly move down a few spots because there's a lot of guys here I like, and I get another bite at the apple in the fourth round, the fifth round, whatever. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you're dead on. You know, I mean, there's a couple strange trends to this draft. I mean, like, where all the third tier quarterbacks went higher than I thought. There were a lot of kickers and punters taken. There were a ton of trades. But, you know, to harp on that one, I think it's because trading was economical. You know, it's like, we're not married to a player at 88 or whatever. We'll take one at 93 that we like just as much. So we'll move down to minimal cost.
Well, that brings me to, so they take Porter in the second round, first pick of the second round. They stay where they're at 49, and they take Keanu Benton, the big defensive tackle out of Wisconsin. Then they get to close to their pick at 80. And Omar Khan said at the wrap-up press conference on Saturday night that they had 10 players that they were looking at there with that 80th pick.
Okay.
And then they got the call, and the offer from the Carolina Panthers was a fourth round draft pick.
Mm-hmm. That they had just lost.
And they said, okay, we can move back and we'll probably get one of these 10 players that we like here. Even if moving back 13 spots, there's not all 10 of those guys are going to go.
Right. Not everyone's going to have the top 10. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a safe. Yeah.
As it turned out, they got the player, according to Khan anyways, that they had at number one in that list of 10.
Interesting.
In Darnell Washington.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what, you know, we talked about it that night, because there were so many tight ends taken ahead of Washington. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only so many spots for tight ends in the league. I mean,
it's just, okay,
we're going to roll the dice here and hope that, you know, that, you know, five of the teams that were between their pick and that 93rd pick between 80 and 93 had probably taken tight ends already. They weren't going to take a tight end. And then so Darnell Washington falls into your lap.
Exactly. I mean, that worked out incredibly well. And was tight end a massive need? Of course not. But I kept harping on it for this reason leading up to the draft is really good ones are going to fall. There's not landing spots for all of them. It's just a math equation. And in this case,
if a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And one of my favorite ones fell to 93, which I'm sure that the knee situation, which I don't know a lot about, maybe, you know, if there was a tie between Laporta or Schoonmaker in Washington, maybe Washington lost the tiebreaker because of medicals. Whatever. I mean, it still benefits the Steelers. I mean, if you get him in 93, what he brings to the table on the field is immense.
And he wasn't going to be for everybody anyways, because he's a true inline tight end. And some teams don't even line their tight ups in line. They just put him there. All right, what are we going to do with that guy? I don't know.
Yeah, good point. So you take advantage.
Yeah, and I really think it was about that particular tight end.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they wanted that guy because of what he would add in the running game for them.
He was in for a visit. I can't remember if any other tight ends off the top of my head were.
No, he was the only one, I believe.
So, I mean, he was a little bit more of a target than others. You know,
yeah.
Right.
Then it turns out in the fourth round, with that pick that they picked up, they end up getting Nick Herbig, who nobody would say this, but it wouldn't surprise me if he had been on that list of 10 guys they would have taken at 80.
It wouldn't surprise me. I hadn't thought of it through that light. You know, through that angle.
But if he wasn't on that list, he probably wasn't far off of it.
Wasn't far off. And I meant to say this earlier in the podcast, that going into this draft, I didn't think they had any chance of Broderick Jones. I would have taken gladly Porter at 17. I would have gladly taken Benton or Washington at 32, let alone at 49. And I would have taken Herbig at 93. And they got all those guys to pick after that.
And then you end up at 241 with Corey Trice. I just think that was just too good to be true.
What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, when I was putting, like, every other pick that happened, we were on the air the entire draft time and all that stuff. And I would tweet out, okay, here's who I would, you know, target here. And I got to say, I think of, you know, of that group, again, we had talked about all these guys. I didn't even consider Corey Trice at 241 because they'd already taken Joey Porter.
Right.
I guarantee they had better than a seventh round draft grade on Corey Trice.
I mean, every best remaining, if it was DJs or Pro Football, I mean, whatever lists were out there, he was number one for an hour or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of real life time. I mean, and he stood out, and I didn't bring him up either. I'm like, boy, it'd be nice. I thought in the back of my head, be great to get that guy, but they're not going to take two outside corners that are, you know, 210 pounds. And, you know, and I think they probably didn't plan on it. They just said, why don't we, you know, it's seventh rounder. How many hits? It's a valuable position. Is it a bad thing to have too many big, strong, long corners? No.
Yeah. So that room got awfully crowded. And then of course they added Spencer Anderson, the offensive lineman out of Maryland, with their last pick at 251. That was, the pick they swapped spots with for the Allen Robinson trades. That was actually the pick of the Rams. And he's the one guy that I looked at. I didn't know a lot about him, but interesting guy. I mean, played all five offensive line spots in his time at Maryland.
Yeah. I've obviously done a lot more homework on him post draft than pre draft. And I like him more and more. I mean, seventh round offensive lineman, how many of those guys make an impact in the league? Not many. but he has a lot of avenues to do so. I mean, I wonder if he will be competing for the number two center spot right off the bat, or might he play some snaps at tackle in camp? I mean, everyone lists him as a guard, but as you mentioned, the versatility is the key with the guy, and the tape certainly isn't bad. He's a plus athlete, though. Like, his jump numbers are really good, all those stuff. There's something to work with there, and the versatility to me is the number one asset.
Yeah, I think the when you show the ability to do that, look, he's a seventh round draft pick. He's
sure.
The odds say he is never going to be a starter in the NFL. But when you have that kind of ability to play across the line, now he's probably never going to play left tackle in the NFL.
Probably
chances are he's not going to play right tackle in the NFL, but maybe.
Maybe.
But the ability to do that kind of stuff, he could play in the league for 10 years.
Right. I don't think you have to squint super hard. 2 or 3 years from now, he's a starting interior lineman. But probably more likely, and this would be a home run as well, is maybe starting next year, whatever. I don't know what timeline would have to be. But if he's active on game day because your Broderick Jones sprains a knee and you have to thrust him into action as your left tackle for the rest of that game, and he doesn't embarrass himself, or first guy off the bench at 4 of the 5 spots on game day, that's critical. That's so important.
Yeah, and of course we also got the news, and this hasn't been announced yet. There's still physicals that have to be taken and things of that nature. But a report out there that the Steelers are signing Chandon Sullivan, the cornerback, who spent last season with the Packers, has also played with the Vikings. A pure slot, more
pure
or less.
Slot, right.
And I mean, that's the one thing I kept banging the table for throughout this draft process. The only thing that they came out of, you know, that and a linebacker, an off-ball linebacker. Maybe that turns out to be Herbig. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
But that was the one spot. You can't get everything, no. You know, especially when you're taking value like this. But, you know, adding a veteran slot corner to the equation, okay, that makes sense too.
That makes sense too. Like, my hunch is that one of their priorities was to find somebody that could compete for the slot in this draft. But, boy, we can't pass Washington at 93. We would have taken maybe a slot safety corner there, but this guy's just way higher graded. So you call up an agent and say, hey, we'll bring your guy in. And it's a nice plan B because he's a very established slot player. And people, we can't harp on this enough, is this roster still isn't done. I mean, you mentioned Herbig. It wouldn't blow me away if they added an off-the-ball linebacker or certainly an edge guy still. You know, I mean, just
– they're certainly going to add a quarterback.
And they're, yeah,
they've
exactly.
got three on the roster right now, you know. So,
yeah,
they're certainly not done. You know, and Omar Khan said that, you know, when the draft was completed. You know, he says, look, we're not finished here. We still got some things we want to do, and – they have the cap space and wherewithal to do it. I mean, this roster got incredibly deep with this draft class.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some slot options. There are some options at backup center. You know, the third outside linebacker to me is still a little up in the air. Third safety is still a little up in the air. They could come from somewhere else on the team. I don't know if they would entertain somebody to challenge Roberts as a starting linebacker, or maybe they think deep down that's Mark Robinson. But all those spots to me, not center, but the other ones can all be addressed on the cheap. And, you know, you're going to get bargains at this point in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to start to see here over the next couple of weeks, maybe some veteran guys get released.
Yeah,
you know, after teams get a look at some of their draft picks, there'll be some, you know, post June 1st stuff that mm-hmm. happens as well. So, I mean, this roster is not nearly finished yet, but man, you gotta love.
So taking the nice strides in the meantime, though.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, if you look at, I think I sent this to you earlier. If you look at Daniel Jeremiah's list, I think the Steelers ended up with what did I say, 5 of the top 90 players in his draft list.
4 of the top 40 and 5 of the top 75.
There you go.
That's
so, yeah,
awesome.
I mean, 4 of the top 40? Are you kidding me?
4 of the top 40.
And you didn't have a high first-round draft pick. You weren't, you know, you didn't have
Texans, you know, yeah. Or multiple first-round picks. You're right.
So that's pretty, you know, pretty amazing. And it's the same thing with Dame Brugler's list. I think they ended up with you know, similar numbers off of his list. So not surprisingly, the Steelers got really high marks across the league, you know, from all the people who do this, with the exception of Mel Kiper Jr., who for some reason doesn't like Keanu Benton.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice.
I don't get it. You know, particularly in this draft where there just wasn't a bunch of big athletic defensive players. I thought that was a great pick at 49.
It might be my favorite for what you paid. I mean, and
I'm with considering you
for what you paid and what's available at that position before the draft started. That's one of my favorites. And I think he fits in here perfectly. And much another trend with these guys, young, developing, coming off their best years, ascending players. And I think he fits that mold too, especially as a pass rusher. He seemed getting better and better and better.
Yeah, I mean, he might be the guy, the one player on this list, and Porter could as well, but he might be the guy that comes in and from day one as your starting nose tackle.
Yeah, or at least is a rotational defensive tackle. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's going to play a lot on game day, no matter where he aligns, in my opinion.
Yeah. You can now listen to Steelers Nation Radio anytime, anywhere through your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Steelers Nation Radio from iHeart, and Alexa will take care of the rest. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.